Welcome to Talking Walking, hosted by Andrew Stuck from Rethinking Cities and the Museum of Walking. Talking Walking brings you interviews with people from the world of walking, artists, activists, professionals, and those of us who have a passion for just taking a walk. At the time of the publication of Walking to Japan, I was lucky enough to catch up with Canadian Carolyn Affleck Youngs in London. She'd co-authored the book with her now-deceased husband, Derek Youngs. Carolyn took a walking holiday on the Camino de Santiago in northern Spain, where she met and eventually fell in love with Derek Youngs, himself a longtime pilgrim who walked for peace. Carolyn has quite a story of long walking of her own, but we also discuss the power of pilgrimage and she and Derek walking together, and how simply putting one step in front of the other can have profound meaning to an individual as to society as a whole. Behind us is bustling Bermondsey and Bankside. We had to stop several times as the ambient noise of traffic and construction became too intrusive. What's your interest and enthusiasm in the Camino?
I've loved walking my whole life, been passionate about it my whole life. But the Camino came up after my father died in 2003, and I was 30-something, late 30s, I guess, 38. And I'd spent a year cleaning out his estate. When I was done, I was exhausted, and I thought I should treat myself to something and go on a trip. How about Mexico or Hawaii? That's where North Americans go for a fun
vacation. You're from Vancouver originally?
Right, yes.
And you still live there now?
I'm in Victoria, which is on Vancouver Island,
okay.
So not too far. So I did an internet search for walking holidays, and I found the Camino pilgrimage, and there was a group being led by a person I'd heard of, a small group of 10 people, led by Derek Youngs, whom I'd met about 7 years earlier.
Where did you begin that?
So his idea was to offer people just a chunk of it, because it's quite a long trail across the entirety of northern Spain and even extends into Europe. Typically, most people walk from the Pyrenees just over in France, but we did the last 200 kilometers towards the west of the country. And I prepared for months. I walked for 3 to 4 hours a day and walked up mountains. It's quite easy to find mountains to walk up in
Vancouver. I'm going to say, you're pretty well supplied with mountains on your doorstep.
And I found that when I got there, I was quite over-prepared.
I'm going to say you're probably a lot fitter than any other pilgrim.
That was what began a lasting relationship with the man who would become my husband, Derek Youngs, and, well, the rest is history.
In part, you're over here promoting a book that you published earlier this year.
Right. So
tell us about the book. And it's written by Derek and yourself. I mean, Derek has now been deceased for how many years?
6 years.
6 years.
Yep.
And was it his intention to have written a book? Or
yes. So he started the book long before we met. He began walking for peace in 1986. He had a crisis of faith. He was a happy enough family man, and he had a secure job. But when his kids left home, he felt a sense of, I guess, emptiness. And what shall I do with my life? There's more to life than sitting, in my peaceful little existence on one of the Gulf Islands, actually, outside of Vancouver. Very, very beautiful place, very happy, and he had lots of walks to do, and that made him happy. But he found an advertisement for something called the Great Peace March for global nuclear disarmament.
And that was across North America, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was from Los Angeles to Washington, D.C.
And was that organized by sort of CND or something
equivalent to? It was a group called Pro Peace, and 1,200 people started off on that walk, and 500 people finished after the walk being canceled right across the border between California and Nevada. They canceled the walk because there was no money left, apparently.
And people kept walking.
They kept walking. Yeah. And when he reached Washington for 9 months. This is roughly 4,000 miles on foot. He looked back and he thought, my God, look what I've done. Obviously, they didn't create world peace, but they, as a group of 500 people, learned how to make peace with each other, and he learned how to make peace with himself, and he dedicated the rest of his life to walking for peace.
So basically, he became addicted to walking.
He did. He did.
In fact, I've heard of other people, probably after that 500, who did the same.
Yes.
Who also, you know, just kept walking.
Yeah.
It was more the journey and the process rather than the destination.
Absolutely. I think at the beginning he was really quite driven to, you know, send a message to the politicians and get people to join in, and it was all for the cause of nuclear disarmament. I like to say that in the course of his lifetime as a walker, his manifesto turned into a mantra, and it was more about inner than outer peace.
The book itself is called Walking to Japan.
It's called Walking to Japan.
Now, why Japan?
When it was probably a year after the Great Peace March, Derek read a story in a book, and that story was about Sadako Sasaki. So when the bombs were dropped in Hiroshima and Nagasaki in 1945, there was a little girl, Sadako, who lived in Hiroshima. She survived the bomb and became a very apparently healthy girl, running races at school and a very happy child. But she contracted leukemia at the age of 11, I think, and was sent to hospital. And in her hospital bed, she was visited by a friend who recounted an ancient legend about 1,000 origami cranes, which says that your wish will be granted if you fold 1,000 cranes. So Sadako began to fold cranes out of any kind of paper she could find, medicine bottle wrappers and things like that. And some people say she did fold 1,000 and some people say she didn't. It really doesn't matter because the crane became a symbol of peace. So Derek was inspired by that, and he, from then on, dedicated his walks to her and told the story and folded probably 1,000 cranes or more in a lifetime. And from then on, he was walking to Japan, and he said that because it was a dream and not a literal goal, because
right.
Obviously you can't physically walk to Japan across the water, it meant he had a lifetime to get there and the whole world to walk through.
Sounds incredible. And what age was he when he sort of came to that?
Interestingly, he was 46 on the Great Peace March, and I was 46 when I was widowed. So just as he couldn't have seen how his life was going to unfold step by step, I couldn't have seen where my life would go, you know, what path it would take. And to end up here in London with this book, as he walked, he would tell stories. And people asked him, so are you going to write a book? And he'd really not thought of it before, but he began writing letters to friends and poems, and then eventually started putting a book together. And when I came along, I'd had editing and proofreading experience. And I said, sign me up. I'll help you with that. Sure, we could do that.
While walking together.
While walking, yes.
So you did quite a bit of walking with Derek
yourself.
We did,
yeah. He invited me to co-lead the Camino pilgrimages for the next few years. And we went to Japan together.
You were saying that he was widowed in 2007. And at that time, you continued co-leading the Camino. How often were you doing that a year?
Well, every year. He did it for 10 years in a row, and we did it together for 3 years, and then we got married there as well. And then...
So how long would a walk along the Camino be?
We did a 10-day mini pilgrimage, which was just enough for people to experience a proper pilgrimage with the trajectory of physical and emotional ups and downs. And we'd start them off at the foot of quite a hill, which had beautiful and very gratifying views at the top, but it was quite a slog for for people. And then there was a lovely sort of valley part where they could relax a bit the next day, and, you know, blisters would develop and all kinds of discomfort. But at the same time, epiphanies and, you know, beautiful, beautiful moments, and all those things are integral, I think, to a pilgrimage.
And are they something that you feel that they don't have to take place on a sort of sacred line? They can happen on any walk.
Oh, yeah. I think it's a very personal thing. People make pilgrimages to remember something or to forget something or to connect deeply with something.
With the book itself, how much of it is Derek's work and how much is it yours?
I don't have an answer for you. Even when we were working together, we would read things and think, who wrote that? Was that you or me? And it really is a product of us both. And I'm really proud of it.
How much walking do you do? Do you keep a measure of it or
an account of it? No, I leave the house in the morning and it's probably 5 to 8 hours a day, but not at a quick pace. Particularly.
Oh, that's an extraordinary amount of walking, isn't it?
But one has to stop and have tea and scones.
And meet people.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yes, that's right. And that goes back to something that was very important to Derek as well, because he was walking in countries where he didn't know the language, he didn't know the culture. Sometimes he didn't have money or many resources, and he had to talk to strangers. And I think it's so important. Where I come from, it's not unusual for people to smile at each other in the street or nod.
When Derek was doing his walks and when you were walking together, was there a destination or a goal for each of the walks, or was it a continual kind of process? And did you seek support from people you met, or did you seek support before you traveled?
Well, he was more, you know, like a pilgrim of old, and knocking on doors and singing for his supper. And at some points he was walking with a pony and would have to find places for the pony to sleep and pastures for the pony to graze in. But I like to have more of a plan and more resources and money in my pocket.
I mean, what's your aspiration?
Well, now that the book is finished, I feel like the rest of my life can begin. And I had always...
So it's a sort of kind of release, is it, almost?
It is.
Completing the book. Okay.
It is. And like I said before, I had no idea where it would lead me, because I used to think that finishing the book was for Derek and it was about his legacy. He already did what he was meant to do in life. He talked to thousands of people and touched their hearts and opened their minds. Finishing the book has been about fulfilling my purpose. So I think I've ticked a big tick off my to-do list, my life to-do list. And I'm so excited to see where the book is going to take me, especially if it involves more walking.
And are you guiding people still on the Camino, or have you...
No, it's too loaded emotionally for me. I mean, it kind of gets under people's skin, and they do go back again and again and again. And who knows, maybe I will, but at this point, because we got married there and I took his ashes there, I don't think I want to go back. But I also had some physical things to work through, a torn ligament in my sacroiliac region, which made walking really painful. So now that that's all healed, I can do longer walks. And I'm thinking again about doing John O'Groats to Land's End at some point.
Thinking again or doing it again?
Oh, thinking. Thinking
have
about
you done
it again. I have not done it yet.
You've not done it already.
Although I've done some lovely, lovely walks.
Tell me what took place on the Isle of Wight.
Well, Isle of Wight has at least one walking festival a year, if not more.
Hugely popular one, too.
It's just amazing to me that England has these pedestrian rights of way and public footpaths through private property.
And that obviously isn't
the
case in...
We don't have that in Canada.
No, okay.
No, it makes walking really difficult. So I went on a lot of the footpaths on the Isle of Wight, but at the time they were having a Richard Long exhibition, and he's an artist whose work centers around walking, and he's quite passionate about it, and he does these earthworks, and he does these poems and photographs all to do with walking. And at first, when I saw the show, didn't know what to think, but I sat and I walked around the exhibition room, and there was one of his pieces, I think it's called 10 Mile Walks, And every 10 miles on this certain walk, he would take notes of what he smelled and what he saw and what he heard. And I realized, I've done that. I can suddenly relate to this person and how passionate and driven he is. So anyway, I was invited to do my book talk in conjunction with this show because they were looking for writers who write about walking.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
That was great.
It's just, I couldn't have been better timed.
What I tend to do with this sort of stage is I get people to that I'm interviewing to recommend a couple of walks that they'd like to recommend to listeners.
Because my mind is on London, I've just been telling friends in London, and a lot of them don't have any idea about the new river path. So I've done bits.
Yeah, it's quite charming, isn't it?
It is.
Okay, so that's one you've recommended. Another?
I recommend walking in Battersea Park because there is a beautiful peace pagoda there built by the Japanese Buddhist monks of the Nippon Zen Myoho-ji sect, and they are peace walking monks. These monks stopped sitting on their meditation cushions in 1945 when their leader said, we have to get up and walk for peace. So these are monks who walk all over the world for peace, and they're incredibly inspiring. And Derek was inspired by them, and I'm inspired by them, and I've spent lots of time with them. But if you want to get out of London, something that's really, it was really exciting for me was the Shikoku pilgrimage.
Tell us a bit about that.
So there are 88 Buddhist temples around this island. It's the fourth largest of the Japanese islands, and it's about a 1,500 kilometer walk, and I've only done a smidgen of it. But for me, it was so exotic. It reminded me of the Camino in a way, because you're staying in, you know, sacred spaces, and you're going through, you're walking on sacred ground in the footsteps of other pilgrims. Hundreds of years.
So if people are interested in reading the book, how do they get hold of it?
walkingtojapan.com.
You've been listening to Talking Walking, brought to you by Rethinking Cities and the Museum of Walking. In this episode, you've heard from Carolyn Affleck-Youngs. If you have any views on this interview or any walking issues, we would love to hear from you. Just follow the links on the Talking Walking website. We look forward to having you along for future episodes of Talking Walking. Written, recorded and produced by Andrew Stuck of Rethinking Cities Limited, our artwork is designed by Ian Martin of Aardvark Graphics, and the music is composed by Simon Sanders of Easytronic.com.